tonight, we are basically wrapping up our series on the Holy Spirit. So after tonight, you'll never hear the Holy Spirit talked about again. No, I'm kidding. That's not true at all. But we are wrapping up our series on the forgotten God, the Holy Spirit. And tonight, we're looking at the Holy Spirit and the church. So just, I guess, a bit of a summary of where we've been on this journey so far. So a few things that you might remember us exploring is the idea that the Holy Spirit actually, for believers, already lives within us, and possibly even for non-believers exists within them as well. But much like, and you might remember young Tim having to scull the milkshake that had all the syrup at the bottom. Who was here for that week? A few people. So there was a brilliant example of given of like, you know, you get a glass of milk and you fill it with syrup, but it's not a milkshake until the syrup's stirred up and through. Everything you need for a milkshake is there, but it's not stirred up. And similarly, for us as believers, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit within you. You have the Holy Spirit as part of your life. We have the Holy Spirit in this church. And but what we want to see is it stirred up into power in our life. And yeah, it's been wonderful. Last week, we talked about God's plan and will for our life and living less in the worrying about the future and kind of just relying more on who we are today, living out life with the Holy Spirit. So tonight we're talking about the Holy Spirit and the church. And I've got to share that I have a bit of a, I won't say weird, I guess, but I have a bit of an interesting history with the Holy Spirit, because I actually grew up in a Pentecostal church. And it was one of those churches where there was speaking in tongues everywhere that, you know, if you got prayed for, you fall over. At one point in the mid-90s, there were a bunch of women in the church who, when they felt the Holy Spirit hit, would be rolling around on the floor and in fits of laughter as though they were drunk, but they weren't drunk, which was in reference to in the book of Acts when the Holy Spirit hit there. And for a lot of my growing up, to me, that's what the Holy Spirit in the context of church looked like. In fact, I don't know if it was officially the theology of the church I grew up in, but it was very often kind of at least intimated, I guess, that if you didn't have some of these signs, if you didn't speak in tongues, for example, that maybe you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you, and in fact, maybe you weren't even saved. And so growing up and as an adult, and I've been to another church since then that was still within that denomination, but there was far less, I guess, pushing that kind of stuff. And then coming here, I've started to kind of reassess what it means to see the Holy Spirit moving within a church. And that's not to say that, you know, I'm not going to, I don't want to kind of tear down any other churches. I'm not saying it's necessarily wrong that another church might have those kind of experiences in their church service. But if we were to judge our church by those kind of standards, you know, even compared to the big churches like Bethel, where they have all kinds of crazy, weird, and wonderful supernatural things happening, it might seem like our church is dead. You know, when a lot of the time we don't even all lift our hands in worship. And growing up, that was like, oh, are you even worshiping if your hands aren't in the air? No one ever actually taught that, but you know, you got the idea that that was what it was about. But what I've been learning is that the Holy Spirit works in an even deeper and more important way in the life of the church. And tonight, I'm not going to stand up here and say, we need the Holy Spirit in this church because he's not moving and he's not working. Because I do believe he is working. He works through the music. We have some incredible worship musicians and singers who bring us some great anointed worship each week. We have some great speakers. We have great leaders. We have some great ministries like Embrace, like Wildfire, that are really seeing God move in wonderful ways. So I'm not going to stand here and say, where's a church don't have the Holy Spirit? Bless you. But tonight I want to encourage us, I guess, to look at what would it look like if we really, really leaned into letting the Holy Spirit do all that he wants to do in our church, and within us as well. So I've got a little video tonight. Who likes story time? Yay! Well, Steve Barber has enough enthusiasm for the rest of you, so we're doing it. So we've got a little a story here. So we're going to watch this video and we'll continue in a moment. Lovely story, the end. So in that we have the big red tractor. And really the big red tractor is a lot like the church. And the church, we often try and get in and work hard to make things happen. And I don't know about you, but I don't know if you sometimes look around, and maybe you just turn up to church to kind of get your little bit of, community time with friends and family, or maybe you turn up to get your dose of worship or a bit of the Word of God or some preaching, and you just go home. But maybe you think a bit more about it, and you look around and you think, I wish our church was like growing more, or I wish like more stuff was happening, or maybe you've been tempted to think, oh, I wish our music team was like more like, I don't know, like Hillsong or Bethel or something. Or I wish we had like the world's best preachers. Imagine just how different church could be if we just had the best of the best and we put our all into, making things happen. And it can be very tempting to sometimes think that way. But in the example of the big red tractor there, there was a lot of people putting in a lot of work to get by. But when they discovered that within the tractor was an engine that could actually operate it, things changed very quickly. And for us, that's what the Holy Spirit is within the context of our church. The Holy Spirit is the engine that gets things moving. See, we have a lot of gifted people in our church. And we have a lot of talented people willing to serve. And I also want to encourage you, there's still plenty of room for more people to serve if you're not currently involved in some ministries here at Maitland Baps. And I believe, many of us that are doing that are trying to rely on the Holy Spirit. But ultimately, it is not our job as humans to try and see people saved. It's the Holy Spirit's work that actually draws people to God. And so often I think, like, even this afternoon I was talking to Liz and I was like, some days I just think, like, I feel like I'm trying really hard to want to make a difference in this world for God, and I don't feel like I'm doing very much. It's not that I'm not doing lots of things, it's that, I don't know, like, I can't remember the last time I saw someone become a Christian because of something I've said or done. And I keep having to remind myself that part of it is that, yes, I need to bring my gifts and abilities and offer them up to God to be used. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit's work that transforms hearts and lives. So my question tonight, I guess, is that what would our church look like with the Holy Spirit just let loose? Now, maybe we might see, I don't know, an increasing quality of worship, although I think we're already pretty top-notch. Maybe we'll see some amazing preaching. Maybe the teaching pastor that we're looking for will come along and just be this amazing person with incredible gifts. But I think that before we think about any of that stuff, we need to be stepping back and going, what does the Holy Spirit want to do? And what would it look like if the Holy Spirit was let loose in this place? Now, I'm not suggesting that we become a church that rolls around on the floor in fits of laughter, or, I won't even touch the speaking in tongues thing at the moment. That's a whole other conversation. But what if we were a church that were passionate about what God was doing because we had a real sense of the Holy Spirit moving? And instead of us trying to critique, I guess, how we run things, or even put in all of our human efforts, we actually just went, okay, God, do your thing through the Holy Spirit. But the thing is, a lot of the time we can go, well, yeah, if the leadership get that right, and we have an incredible leadership who very much are looking to say, Holy Spirit, where are you taking us? But it actually isn't up to the leadership of the church for us as a church to keep moving forward and seeing the kingdom of heaven grow in this area. It's actually up to us as individuals because we are the church. Our leaders' jobs are to guide us and to perhaps make sure the organizational side of things happen and to be praying for us. But it's up to us as individuals. And so really, we won't see our church or our communities transformed until we are transformed by the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean for us to be transformed by the Holy Spirit and to let Him do the work in our lives? Because this idea of like, are you doing something in your own strength or are you letting the Holy Spirit do the work can be a really weird idea to get our head around. And I was thinking a bit about another example of what that might look like. And I went back a couple of years. Now, does anyone remember my weight loss journey of a few years ago? A few people? So here's basically what happened. So a couple of years ago, towards the end of 2017, Liz and I had been traveling around Europe with some of my long service leave and been on a cruise with 24/7 food and all-you-can-eat buffets. And Europe is not exactly known for its lean cuisine. And I came back and I had a few weddings to attend. And I started seeing these photos of myself. And I'll be honest, I wasn't really happy with what I was seeing. So this is a photo from about the end of 2007, I think. Exactly 2 years ago. There you go. So this was me exactly 2 years ago filling out that shirt. And I'm still handsome. It's all right, guys. But I remember looking at myself and there were other photos as well. And I'm like, man, I've put on a lot of weight. And when I weighed myself, I think I was somewhere around like 105 kilos or something like that. And I'd said to Liz, I want to lose weight. And she said, well, you've got to make some changes. I was like, yeah, I want to lose weight, but I don't want to make changes. And then I was like, okay, because I'm not big into drastic changes, you know. I'm more like I want to do something long-term and sustainable. And she's like, okay. And so I was like, all right, I'll have a go at trying to lose weight by, you know, just changing some. I won't go on a diet, but I'll change some of the way that I eat. Anyway, a few months later, nothing had really changed. In fact, I think I was putting on weight. And she had been throughout this time saying, look, maybe a really easy option, a helpful option is to look into like Weight Watchers or Jenny Craig. And she said that lovingly, just so you know. She wanted me to make that very clear. And eventually I was like, no, because my pride wanted me to have been the one that was able to overcome in my own strength. And I had wanted to be able to say, yeah, I was in control and able to change things and I didn't need help in doing it. And also, I was a bit scared of maybe being forced into some big changes in my life. Anyway, when I finally accepted and went, yep, I can't do this on my own, I went to Jenny Craig, our sponsors for this evening's message. No, I'm kidding. I went to Jenny Craig and I had this wonderful lady called Sam who she was with me most weeks. And basically I went on a meal plan. And throughout that time, it wasn't just about just eat this. In fact, you know, there was little bits of wiggle room in there. But it was about a holistic approach to all the things I needed to change. Not just what I was eating, but my attitude towards food and how I looked at things. And I needed to exercise more. I had a gym membership at the time, but I wasn't going very often. And also in that time, Cass offered to start training me and helping me get fit. And that's where the birth of the McLaren Gym started. Founding member, booyah, better get a free t-shirt. And in that time, I did start to see a transformation. And that was me, I think, with about 6 months later after I started the process, looking pretty hot. I know. You were thinking it. I said it. No. So I ended up losing about 12 to 13 kilos. Now, the woman at Jenny Craig, she didn't force me to do anything. She didn't make me do anything. She didn't do the diet for me. She gave me some guidelines and she gave me some advice. And there were weeks where I didn't stick very well to the plan. And she wasn't there to condemn me or to make me feel bad about that, but rather to encourage me to keep my eyes on where I was going and what it was about, and also reminding me of those maybe those habits that I might need to break. And, you know, if I kind of went backwards a bit, she was there to comfort me. And when I had wins, she was there to encourage me. And I kind of realized looking back that it's basically what the Holy Spirit is like in our lives. You see, I still had to do the work of being on a diet. I still had to be the one to make those choices, but I couldn't do it in my own strength. I needed someone else to be speaking into my life and to help me make some decisions and to guide me. And that is essentially what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. See, you plus the Holy Spirit is the best you possible. And this could look many different ways in our lives. You know, I think if you talk to some Christian athletes, for example, they would say that part of how they get to where they were is because of the Holy Spirit. If you talk to some of the best musicians in the world who are really successful at what they do but who love God, I'm sure they would say, yeah, they practice hard and they, you know, they work on their craftsmanship, but they rely on the Holy Spirit to work in their life. So what are the gifts and talents in your life that maybe you've been just trying in your own strength to become to use really well, that maybe with the Holy Spirit's help could be taken to the next level? Now, I could go on about how, you know, essentially we could become the best at whatever field we're in if we rely on the Holy Spirit, but I don't think that that's even the point. I think that's a side product maybe of relying on the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Because I think what God really wants to see is us transformed so that He gets the glory. He's not interested in having a bunch of people be really successful just for the sake of being successful. In fact, I actually think success matters very little to God. And what He's interested in is hearts of people who are just wanting to see Him glorified. So a good question, I think, is if the Holy Spirit's working in your life, are you getting the credit or is God getting the credit? And it can be very tempting. I wrestled a lot this week with writing this message. I went backwards and forwards because whenever I speak, I like to kind of have a, you know, obviously I like to prepare and have a clear plan of what I want to do. There's always part of me that's like, I just want this to be like an amazing message. And if I'm honest, like I do want it so that people at church are impacted by it and I want to be able to speak into the life of our church and see God move. There's also a big chunk of me that really hopes that people just come up and pat me on the back afterwards. And so this week, or these last few weeks actually, as I was working on this, there was just something that kept blocking me from getting this message together in the right way. And I'm like, God, this should be so simple. What's going on? And then it was like He just said to me, you're not even doing the thing you're preaching on. You're not even like stepping back and just letting the Holy Spirit work. So the last week I've been very scared because I've had all the bits and pieces for my message, but haven't sort of had that final product like I would normally have where I can go, I feel very confident in this and blah, blah, blah. And it was like God said, I've given you what you need, but now you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. So if this message doesn't impact you, you can blame the Holy Spirit tonight. That's fine. Nah. The truth is that we can get pretty caught up in our own gifts and abilities, that we forget that the purpose of why we're being given our gifts and abilities is ultimately to glorify God and that other people would get to know His love. So in some ways, I want to encourage you that there might be areas in your life where you're wanting to see growth and movement, and maybe you've been trying really hard. Maybe you've been just putting in so much human effort that maybe God's saying, take a moment, step back, and just make room for the Holy Spirit to move. And that's not about giving up, and that's not about not doing anything. Like the tractor analogy, someone still needed to jump on that tractor. Someone still needed to be driving it. I didn't lose weight because of Sam at Jenny Craig. I lost weight because I stuck to the diet, mostly. But without that guidance and that outside force, if you will, that supernatural force, there's only a limit to, there's a very short limit to what we're able to achieve. So I want to encourage us that I want to see our church transformed, continually growing into the image of God, into the image of Jesus, and looking like what he looked like. But we can't do that in our own human efforts, because to be sacrificial, to be selfless, is really hard. But with the Holy Spirit, it's maybe just that bit easier. A few weeks ago, we looked at the fruits of the Spirit as well. And, you know, when the Bible talks about the Spirit, you know, there's a bunch of stuff where it's described the Holy Spirit moving. But I think the core of it is that God's not necessarily interested in whether we have loud, vibrant worship and dance around and lift our hands, although I think that'd be awesome. But he's interested in our character. And if the Holy Spirit is moving in our lives, and we'll have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, always feel like I'm missing one, forgiveness, but faithfulness, memory. Now, many people in the world who aren't Christian have a lot of those things. But do they have it to an extent where you go, wow, there's something different about you? See, we can be nice people, but are we sacrificial people? Are we people who are living out the fruits of the Spirit to such an extent that people go, how are you able to do that? Like, sure, we know, you know, even the world talks about we need to make sure we forgive each other. But to really forgive when it is absolutely hard and sacrificial, that's where often the world steps back and goes, no, fair enough. Hold on to your unforgiveness. It totally makes sense. But yet we go a step further and go, no matter what you've done to me, I'm going to forgive you. You know, the world says we should go and look after the poor. But the world says you should only do it so much as it doesn't impact you too much. But supernatural giving is going, I'm willing to give up my whole life to serve those in need. So if we want to see this church transformed, we need to see our lives transformed. We have access to the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to move. And I reckon in many of your lives, he's already moving and you know that. What if we leaned into that even more? What if we gave him even more room to move? Step back a bit, and instead of just trying to work on our own plans, we actually invited him to take the lead. That would be my encouragement. So I want to set out a 7-day challenge. So the good thing about this is you only need to let the Holy Spirit work in your life for 7 days. Isn't that amazing? No, but I think it's a good place to start. Is sometimes it can seem very daunting to make changes in our lives. But when you've got a short goal in mind, my weight loss journey helped that I knew there was a defining moment or a length of time that I was going to be on a diet for. So I want to encourage us this week, could we start every single day by basically praying to invite the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Because practically, when we talk about what does it mean to let the Holy Spirit do his thing in our life, I think a lot of it is about an attitude adjustment. It's really, as much as anything else, there's maybe not a lot of practical steps, but it's just going, you know what? I at least recognize that, God, I'm reliant on you. And then he has room to move. Because when we don't do that, the Holy Spirit could work in our lives, and then we end up going, how good was I? But when we stop and go, okay, Holy Spirit, have your thing, have your way, do your thing, then God gets the credit. So every day this week, and I've asked my wife to keep me accountable, but anyone else is welcome to keep me accountable. I'm going to be doing this every day this week, is I want to start every day with a prayer inviting the Holy Spirit to have his way in my life. and then step back and watch what happens. It's pretty simple. Then throughout your day, to listen for the Holy Spirit's leading and see where he takes us. Now, for some people, their experience of the Holy Spirit is maybe that he speaks very clearly to us and tells us to go and do something or to not do something or gives us a word for someone or maybe nudges us to pray for someone. But maybe for others of us, it's more of a feeling or something in us that we just go, I get a sense that I'm meant to do this thing. Or maybe it's just that in the midst of a troubling situation, you feel this peace that you wouldn't normally feel, a peace that passes all understanding. Or maybe when you go to do something that requires the fruit of the Spirit, you start to see that God's encouraging you to do those things, even though the selfish part of us wants to hold back. So who here is willing to commit to this 7-day challenge? It's okay if you're not. You'll be cast out of the church, but that's fine. No, I'm kidding. So I'm going to do this over this week and just let God do his thing. And I'm looking forward to, in a week's time, finding out what happened. Maybe there's just small things that happened in your life over this week. Maybe there'll be crazy stories next week of healings, of miracles, of salvations. Or maybe you'll, at the very least, just have a greater sense that God is present in your life with you every day. We're going to take communion now. And I've loved doing this series on the Holy Spirit. And I think there's even more we could talk about and deeper we could dive into with things like the gifts of the Spirit and other things like that. And maybe we'll have a look at some of those in the future. But I just want to remind you again that very first thing we learnt about, which is that if you have Christ in your life, you have the Holy Spirit in your life. I grew up where, you know, you had to have this moment, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And in the Bible, there is a moment where the Holy Spirit comes after Jesus has said, I'm leaving you, but in my place, I'll send the Holy Spirit. But my belief is you don't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit because if you are a baptized believer, the Holy Spirit is already within you. And that's good news. So there's nothing magical or weird or mystical you need to do to have access to this supernatural power known as the Holy Spirit. It's already there within you. So as we come to take communion, we of course remember what Jesus did on the cross, which is why we have access to the Holy Spirit. If you are someone who can come and remember and be thankful for what God has done for you, what Jesus did on the cross, then you have that access to the Holy Spirit. Okay, 1, 2. And there I am, cool. So as we come, I want to invite you to not just remember and give thanks for what God has done, but let's look forward and ask God, what does he want to do through us, through the Holy Spirit? So I invite you to come and take part of communion tonight as one body, as one family, joined together by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray and then we'll take communion. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your love. Lord, thank you that you want relationship with us, that you are not a distant, far-off God, but you are a God who stepped out of heaven in the form of Jesus to show us how we are to live and to bring us back into relationship with you. Lord, I thank you that even though we don't have Jesus physically here with us today, we have the Holy Spirit in his place to comfort us, to counsel us, to guide us and lead us, and to give us strength to do the things that we otherwise wouldn't be capable of doing on our own. Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us to make space in our lives for your Holy Spirit to work. That, Lord, if there are people here who feel like they've been striving for that next thing, whether it's a breakthrough or a miracle, that, Lord, you might help us to just stop for a moment and just hand it over to you to let the Holy Spirit work. Lord, for those of us who maybe have been wanting to keep our gifts and talents to ourselves, maybe scared that we're not good enough to serve or to take what we have into the world around us, I pray, Lord, that we might just get a sense of your Holy Spirit taking what we have and making it something more, not for our glory, but for yours. And Lord, as we come to the communion table tonight, I thank you that you have forgiven us, that we have freedom and a life in you and a future. Thank you for what you've done for us, and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.